Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Rick Martinez. I am a cookbook author and lover of delicious, fine French pastry. And I have to say, they love me too.
And I'm Carla Lally Music. I'm also a cookbook author, video host, and my favorite flavor of ice cream is...
drum roll.
Coffee mocha chip.
Wow, yum. And this is Borderline Salty, the show where we take your calls, boost your confidence, and make you a better, smarter, and happier cook.
Today, we'll give our very strong opinions about bean soaking methods and weigh in on how much salt is too much salt.
I mean, this is borderline salty after all.
But before we get into all that, Rick, tell me something good.
Well, I have something great. I am in New York City, and you are 3 feet away from me, which is the first time this has happened in a long, long, long time. It is great to be back in New York. And one of the things that I have missed so much is eating amazing food in this city. So I've been eating my face off, which, I mean, that's what you do. But one of the things that struck me is eating at so many amazing new restaurants back to back, I have a new appreciation for front of the house and service and what they actually do to the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt, every place that I've been has had exceptional service. But one place in particular has a very different style, and it impacts the customer and their relationship with other diners. And so I ate at Bonnie's a few days ago.
Woo.
And all of the staff, the GM, the bartender, the servers, were welcoming us into their home for a house party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it had the effect of opening up the diners to talking to people around them as if they were all guests at the same party. And so the vibe was very much social, and there was a lot of interaction between tables, and you could walk to different tables and talk to different people. And it was just so welcoming and so comforting. And it just, I mean, that coupled with the incredible food just made me want to stay there.
Yeah.
And it's one of the first times I think that I will want to return to a restaurant, not only for the food, but because of the front of the house staff, and not even the service, just like to see these people again that now I feel like are my friends.
That is so incredible. That is like such a huge reason why we love to eat out. Like, you are in a room with people having fun, enjoying food. And I've always said, if you could take me to a restaurant where the food is incredible, but the service is like cold and formal and standoffish, and I'm never going to want to go back. You could take me to a restaurant where the food is like actually okay, but the service is amazing, and I'm yours forever.
Yeah, 100%. So, Carla, you tell me something great.
Well, this weekend, we had a very special family birthday celebration. My dad turned 80. My sister, their birthdays are 10 days apart, so we always celebrate together. And my sister is pregnant, so it's like a very exciting time. He's got this big milestone. The family is growing. And going back a few years, my dad is a cancer survivor. He does not have cancer anymore, but there was a time when he was really sick, and we like didn't know how many more of these birthday celebrations we had. And there was one time in particular where he was in the hospital, and I came to visit him, and he like 100% waited for my mom to leave the room and called me in, and he was like, "Carla, we have to drink the wine." And I was like, "I know, we have to drink the wine," because he loves wine. He loves to collect wine, and not in like a super precious way, but in a way of like, this is to be enjoyed, you know? And it just took on like a new urgency. So ever since then, we've been really good about drinking the wine. And this weekend was just because it was also a special occasion. He broke out some bottles that he was very excited about. And it was just so fun and a celebration, just a reminder of like, you're not waiting for that good time. Like, you're having that good time. That good time is right now. Drink the wine.
Drink the wine. Enjoy life. Yeah. Enjoy each other's company.
Exactly.
Carla?
Yes?
Do you know what time it is?
Is it time for caller questions?
Hi, Rick and Carla. This is so exciting. This is Alexandra, and I'm excited to ask you this question because I love making beans. I always soak them before I cook them. My grandfather said always use the soaking liquid. Others say throw it out, makes them less gassy. That's part one. My other question for you is, I was told by Rancho Gordo and others not to add any acid until later in the cooking to make the beans cook better and softer and not be as hard. So I'm just wondering, if you're cooking in a pressure cooker or even in a pot on the stove, what is the best order of operations to make the creamiest, most delicious, and flavorful beans? Thanks.
God, I love beans.
Oh, same.
I love them so much.
Same.
I could eat beans every day.
Anytime. Okay, so I already know that this is it's not really a controversial topic, but we definitely have opposing viewpoints on this.
Yes, and it's okay. There's more than one way to skin a cat here. So the first part is like to soak or not to soak. And I'm on the record, I'm a super soaker, love to soak.
I don't even know what that word means.
Well, I am going to start by making my case for soaking. I truly believe, after many years of trial and error, that soaking the beans overnight makes them cook more quickly and cook more evenly, period. I rest my case.
Okay. You know, it's like a sponge, right? So mm-hmm. If you take a dry sponge and you drop it into a glass of water, it is going to absorb all the water and be filled with water. So if you had a desire to take a bite out of the sponge, guess what you would taste? Water.
I don't agree. The bean used to be filled with whatever. Before it got dried, it was filled with something, and that something was liquid. So are you telling me that a fresh cranberry bean is...
I'm telling you that if you drop the dry sponge into a glass of delicious, rich chicken broth, guess what it would taste like? Delicious, rich chicken broth.
Okay, is this why you don't soak, or is it deeper than that?
No, I grew up in a household that we didn't know that soaking was even an option, right?
Right.
The way that you made beans is you put them in a pot, and it took 3 hours or more. That's just the way that it all worked. And like my father has his mother's bean pot. This pot is probably 100 years old and he still uses it.
Right.
And I've tried soaking methods. I've cross-tested recipes that call for soaked beans.
At this point, Alexandra's question might have been, Rick, could you please explain to Carla why she should stop soaking her beans? Because we would like to hear that. So I'm hearing it and I'm open to it. But now, whatever we did, we now have beans that we're going to put in the pot. I use my soaking liquid. I think you would agree throwing away the soaking liquid is tomfoolery.
Foolish.
If you're someone who gets a little gassy from beans, then it's not about the soaking liquid.
Right. You're going to get gassy regardless. I mean, the reality is, or at least my reality, my body, it's like if a bean makes me gassy, it doesn't matter what I put in it or cook it in or soak it or whatever, I'm going to continue to be gassy.
Yeah, and I just know I cook pasta fagioli every Sunday night, and for me, it's something, and for other people in the household, it's not, and that's okay. Sunday night, that's what Sunday night is. That's what it is. It's fine. I don't regret it, and it's normal and natural, so just whatever. Soak or don't soak, it's up to you. You might save a little bit of time, but as far as making a delicious creamy bean, in my advanced years, like the amount of salt and fat that you can add to the cooking liquid, it kind of knows no limit. Beans can take a lot of salt and they can take a lot of fat and they just get better and better and better. So salt the hell out of it. If you don't have stock, that's totally fine. You know, I like to add thyme and rosemary and bay leaves and a lot of salt and a lot of olive oil. Or if I have, you know, rendered fat sitting around, you know, which I usually do, I'll throw pork fat in there, chicken fat, beef fat. I mean, it's just all fat and salt.
Totally agree with that. And I also like, you did a recipe with charred lemon and that was like super delicious.
Yeah. So that's Patch Trofer's recipe. It has a lemon that's been cut in half and gets charred pretty hard. And then that goes into the water, which gets us right into the acidity part of this question.
Right.
I think we both subscribe to the belief that acidity will slow down the tenderizing of the bean and could like make them tough longer. So if I'm going to add something acidic like that, whether it's tomato or lemon, I wait usually until the bean is starting to become tender. So like maybe an hour, hour and a half into cooking, that's when I would add something acidic. But acidity and beans definitely go together. And it is like a lovely thing to add to beans, especially at the very end of cooking, like tastes so good.
Yeah.
You just want to remember the formula, low and slow.
Lots of fat, lots of salt.
Soak.
Whatever.
Next caller, please.
Hi, my name is Holly Prince, and my question is about salt. You know, for so long, I've been told, like, don't add salt, it's bad for your heart. When I watch your cooking videos, Carla, I see you using a lot of salt
the hell out of it, and a lot of salt. Like the amount of salt that you can add, it kind of knows no limit.
And so I'm wondering, what can you say about the use of salt and how it impacts us? Because it always, I find it kind of alarming. Although everything always tastes really good. Thanks.
Ugh.
Well, we didn't name it borderline salty for nothing.
If it's not salted, it's not good. This is like, I think the number one reason why home cooks are like, I don't know, I made it, I followed the recipe, and it just like, it was kind of flat. You are not salting your food enough. And I feel for Holly because the thinking about salt, the tie between salt and hypertension or high blood pressure has been like beaten into our brains because that was the common thinking based on like studies done a really long time ago. And the fact is like, unless your doctor told you to cut back on salt, just like let it rain.
And you know, like science is always changing, right?
Right.
So studies that were conducted 50 years ago say a very different thing. I mean, it's sort of like planets. Like, is Pluto a planet or not, right? Like, when we grew up, it was a planet. Now it's not. Sometimes it is. And then there's, like, sub-planets and this planet. I mean, whatever.
The fact of the matter is, like, it is not necessarily true that salt gives you high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, you might be on a special diet. That is fine. But, you know, I think that it is alarming when people see me salting pasta water or, you know, doing what we call the four-finger pinch of kosher salt from the dish and really just like letting it go. That's because over time I have learned like how much salt is needed to season my food. And it varies. Like last night I was making a stir fry that I was going to finish with soy sauce and black vinegar at the end. So throughout the phases of cooking the vegetables first, I season them really lightly because I knew that at the end I was going to add soy. But if I'm making like a pot of beans or mashed potatoes or eggs, like that food needs salt.
Yeah, or you're just going to be really sad. And, you know, and here's the other thing. So I also am a firm believer that health is very personal. And you and I are almost exactly the same age. We're a couple of months apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been eating salt and butter and also lots of vegetables, lots of fiber.
Yeah.
But we are incredibly healthy. We look great for our age. We have fabulous skin, I would
say. We look amazing.
We look amazing. And, you know, and to me, my view on health is I feel very comfortable. I know how my body works. And having a good dialogue with your physician and making sure that there are no problems on the horizon that are coming up. And I, you know, like I have a history of hypertension and heart disease in my family. And I've been asking my doctor for decades, like, okay, when is it coming? When is it coming?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, look, if it hasn't happened by now, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. And you're going to be fine, at least for the foreseeable future. So, you know what? That's how I'm living my life.
Yeah. Have you ever had pasta that you forgot to salt the pasta water?
I mean, I've had under-seasoned pasta.
I have wholesale forgotten, and it is just, it's devastating.
How do you recover from that? Do you go to therapy?
You don't. You literally have to, like, I mean, anyway, but yes.
Line two, you're on.
Hi, Rick and Carla. My name is Margarita. The ingredient that freaks me out is tilapia. I don't know how to cook it, so it doesn't taste fishy. Please help me out because it's very inexpensive, and I'm a pescatarian, and I need help. Ayúdenme, por favor.
I'm not a big fan of strong fishy flavors either. So I actually completely, I know exactly what you're talking about. I will also say that I didn't eat a lot of fish until I moved to Mazatlan. And I realized that the reason a lot of times that fish has that strong flavor is because it's just not that fresh.
Right.
And, you know, now that I'm living by the coast, it's been very eye-opening. Fish that I didn't think that I liked, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, now I understand why people get so obsessed about fish. It's so delicious.
I think the problem that Margarita is having is not a tilapia problem. I think it's just like a freshness of fish problem, because tilapia in and of itself is actually not a very strong flavored fish and is sort of mild. And I think that's why it became such a popular farm fish in the U.S. because it kind of doesn't have a ton of flavor. So if she's detecting a strong fishy flavor from her tilapia, that's a market issue.
Totally agree with that.
I think there's something else in Margarita's question, which is she said that she likes to use it or buys it often because it's inexpensive. And there's a clue there, because the reason that tilapia is so inexpensive is because it's a really easy to raise in a farmed situation. So this tilapia is raised in big pens with, you know, crowded conditions, eating soy pellets. Like, this is a fish who has not lived its best life. So when the price is too good to be true, it's like, it's because it is too good to be true. It's actually not good. So, you know, sometimes a low price is going to be the first indication that maybe the quality isn't there.
Right. And, you know, not to say that you have to buy the most expensive fish, but, you know, I think it is very true in this case, not only fish, but like other proteins. Like if it's, you know, a giant bag of chicken parts or a giant piece of pork and it's $5 to $10, you know, there's a reason.
There's a reason. Exactly.
And so, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like if you have $10 to spend, I would rather spend that $10 on a smaller piece of higher quality protein that is going to have good flavor.
Yeah.
And then just build your meal around that and bolster up like the side dishes, the starches, the vegetables, and enjoy that smaller piece of very good quality fish. Carla, we have a live caller.
Yay!
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to Borderline Salty.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on. We're so excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited to chat with you guys.
Amazing.
So we hear you've got a dilemma. Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. So I am absolutely terrified of cooking for other people. But specifically, I have a brother-in-law who is a professional chef, and cooking for him terrifies me the most. Even though he's super sweet, super nice about it, mm-hmm. loves when people cook for him, just knowing that I'm cooking for someone who professionally does that, has his own restaurants, it's a little intimidating, to say the least.
You know, honestly, I feel like that would be stressful for anyone. I would be stressed.
Honestly, that used to happen to me a lot. When I first started cooking, I was always scared of the people that I thought were better cooks than I am or the professional chef. So I'm curious, like, what kinds of things do you cook for him, or have you cooked for him?
Well, I basically stick with like the basics, tried and true recipes from my mom and my grandmother. So, you know, like Puerto Rican cuisine mostly, empanadas and pernil and stuff like that.
Yum.
But I'm quite scared to cook anything outside of the comfort zone.
How does he react when you make him those dishes? They sound amazing. I mean, I would be super excited if you made that for me.
Oh, he's always like super excited, talks it up, and definitely like gives many compliments, which makes me feel good. But
yeah,
it doesn't make the anxiety go away for the next time.
Right, right.
I have to say, like, I think that as people, we put a lot of pressure to constantly like make a different thing and make something new and go, you know, break out of the repertoire. And as someone who comes from a family that like hates to break tradition, we have an expectation. There are certain meals when I go over to my mom's house, if she were to not make the thing that I love of hers, I would be mad. So part of this is like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Like, if he loves what you're making and you're comfortable making that food and it's delicious, maybe just let go of the pressure you're putting on yourself, because it doesn't sound like he's putting on pressure on you.
Oh no, absolutely not. He's wonderful.
And so do you like your empanadas? Do you like your pernil?
Oh, yes, I do. I enjoy my food. I think I do very close to the original recipes.
That was a very confident response.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the key. And I think that's a big part of cooking, right? It's about building confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I serve food to other people like that, when I'm confident, when I cook something with love and people can taste that, it makes my food 10 times better than if I cook something that is maybe technically perfect, but I don't really have a lot of emotional investment in it.
Right.
But I think it sounds like you're very emotionally invested in, you know, Puerto Rican food. And I think just lean into that, like own it and love it and present it and like just show it off to the world. You're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is the route that I'm aiming to go on.
I think Rick is totally right. I think the other thing is just really remind yourself that professional cooks, people who cook for a living, people who are expected to always do the cooking, we are so happy when somebody else cooks for us. Like when my 12-year-old makes me scrambled eggs and a buttered piece of bread, it's like the best meal that I've ever had. And it could be too much pepper or like you overcook the eggs. And it will be the most delicious thing and make me so happy because that's an act of love that he's doing for me. And
right.
When I eat at other friends' houses, they say the same thing. And my spouse will remind me like, oh, they're so intimidated to cook for you. They're so scared. And I'm like, why? Like everything they make is amazing because he's not sitting at a judge's table. He's sitting at your table and you guys are having this nice time together. And he's probably just psyched that he didn't have to cook.
That is what he says.
Yeah. Believe him. Really take that to heart. I can see you changing your signature dish for him and have him come over and be like, oh my God, I was so looking forward to the empanadas. I've been thinking about them for days.
I hope that's how he feels.
I'm sure he does.
Yes.
Knock him dead.
Will do.
Talk to you again. Good luck.
Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Who celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So before we go, it's time for one of our favorite borderline salty segments, Rad Fad or
Bad Fad.
This is the pretty viral grated egg phenomenon that is literally sweeping the TikTok nation. So for our listeners at home who are not watching along with us, what just happened in this quick little video is we started with an olive oil toasted crusty piece of bread onto which a smear of mayonnaise happens. There's the most perfect avocado I've ever seen in my life being cut into the thinnest little slices and then fanned over the crispy bread. Then we have paper-thin slices of red onion, and then there's a hard-boiled egg that gets shelled, and with a regular cheese grater, just shaving this hard-boiled egg over the top so it's, like, fluffy, and you see the whites and the yolks, and then the whole thing gets topped with a little more salt and peps, another drizzle of olive oil, cheese, there's cheese of some kind, and then the knife comes through and cuts it in half, and you just see it go through the fluffy top, and then crunch through that toasty bread on the bottom. I gotta say, it looks really good.
You're leading the witness.
Overruled. Objection sustained.
But no, I totally agree. Kudos to them for getting that absolutely perfect golden brown crust on that bread. The crunch was beautiful. Everything about it, I think, is just yummy. Like, I would 100%, I would pay money to eat that toast.
Yeah, I think it's funny how it's become this, like, new thing, the idea of the grated egg. But the first time I saw it, all I could think about was, like, your very formal, old-school caviar service.
Oh, right,
where you would have finely grated egg white and finely grated egg yolk, but separate. So you could garnish each of your perfect little, you know, blini and your caviar. But now it's, like, for every man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, I mean, we— in culinary school, we had to pass hard-boiled eggs through a tammy.
Exactly.
And we would use that to make the French deviled egg, which is an oeuf farci. And even in restaurants, we would do that for our egg salad. We would use the large holes of a giant grater and just push the eggs through.
Oh.
So yeah, so it doesn't seem that new to me, but I really like the way that this video is constructed, and I would 100% eat that.
All right, so final verdict?
Rad fad.
Yay!
Yay! And that's it for this week's episode of Borderline Salty.
You can find recipes and recommendations from this week's episode in the show notes.
And if you have a question or a fear you want us to help you through, you can always leave us a voicemail at 833-433-FOOD.
That number again is 833-433-3663.
Borderline Salty is an original production by Pineapple Street Studios. We're your hosts. I'm Rick Martinez.
And I'm Carla Lolly Music. You can find our social handles in the show notes for this episode.
Natalie Brennan is our lead producer.
Janelle Anderson is our producer.
Our managing producer is Agarenish Ashagre.
Our assistant producer is Mari Orozco.
Our head of sound and engineering is Raj Makija.
Mixing and engineering by Davey Sumner and Jason Richards.
Our assistant engineers are Sharon Bardalis and Jade Brooks.
Original music from our very own Raj Makija.
Additional music from Vincent Vega, Spring Gang, and Glovebox, courtesy of Epidemic Sound.
Legal services for Pineapple Street are provided by Bianca Grimshaw at Granderson Desrochers.
Our executive producers are Max Linsky and Jenna Weiss-Berman.
We appreciate Alexandra, Holly, Margarita, and Alex for calling in this week.
And thanks to you for listening. Talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye. Adios.
Mwah, 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 mwah. Love ya. Mean it. Mwah.
Holler at me.
Ring a ding ding.
Hello. I mean, goodbye.
Goodbye.